The NFL Players Union has appealed Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson's NFL suspension, calling it unprecedented, arbitrary, and unlawful. Peterson told USA Today that he's learned better ways of disciplining his children after entering a no-contest plea to reckless assault of a child. Meanwhile, former Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice expects word by Thanksgiving on his appeal of his NFL suspension for assaulting his wife in February. While the NFL sorts out issues of crimes and punishment, New York Times sports reporter Steve Eder has been investigating domestic violence in the NFL from the victim's perspective. Eder's two-part series is titled Nowhere to Turn. Steve, welcome to Only a Game.
Happy to be here.
You describe a very cozy relationship between NFL teams and various law enforcement agencies. In some cases, local police or sheriff's deputies are actually on the payroll of the NFL teams. How has that contributed to this issue?
Yeah, in one of the cases that we looked at, there was a Miami Dolphin who had been arrested in a domestic violence case. After the arrest, the Dolphin security head was on the phone with people who worked for the team who were also sheriff's deputies. You know, the player was released out of a back door of the jail. He was able to avoid media. He was driven to the Miami Dolphins training facilities where he met with coaches in a patrol car. And then, you know, in that same unmarked car with an officer driving to his home. And, you know, it gave a sense, and the sheriff at the time found it to be too cozy. Teams need security, sure. And so it wouldn't be surprising that they would go out and they would hire local law enforcement to serve in those capacities. The question is when it becomes something more. That's something that, you know, that we looked at, and I think will continue to be looked at, those relationships.
Some teams also discouraged women from going to the police in the first place, sometimes assigning a team employee to be available day and night to diffuse arguments, almost like an on-call marriage counselor. I assume this wasn't done with a woman's safety in mind.
You're referring to a case involving a Cincinnati Bengals player and his ex-wife. And in that case, the ex-wife and later also spoke with the player, and they explained that the message from the team was, keep it in-house. The team has denied it, but you sort of see from there that there's a lot of involvement from the team in this couple's marriage when they're having problems. It describes a culture where distractions and things like that are a problem.
You spoke with Brandi Underwood, who was married to former Green Bay Packers safety Brandon Underwood. She said the supportive community of Packers wives became significantly less supportive when the abuse in her relationship became public. What happened, and was peer pressure a common theme among the women you interviewed?
I think so. And in the case of what Brandi told us, she had a couple things happen in her relationship. There was an allegation with her ex-husband involving other women and a prostitution issue. And, you know, what she described is people basically saying, you know, this is part of what we deal with, you know, move on and forgive and forget and stay with them. It'd be better for your kids and all that kind of stuff. And she felt that a feeling of being really stuck, you know, who do you turn to and who can you really trust and who's going to give you advice for what's good for you?
She was also the woman who got the call after she had left her husband from another woman saying, you're so strong, you're so brave, I wish I could do that too.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's part of what was intriguing about what Brandi Underwood had to say was she described how very difficult it was to break away, the financial aspects of it, the cultural aspects of breaking away. But, you know, she's moved on 3 years down the road, and she says she looks back and she wishes that she could sort of see the person that she is now, how much stronger she is now.
Some people would say that things are changing in the league. NFL Executive VP of Football Operations Troy Vincent, whose mother was a domestic violence victim herself, helped to coordinate player involvement in a new anti-domestic violence ad campaign that runs during games on television.
No more. Not my problem.
No more.
But he has such a bright future.
No more. He didn't mean it.
The ads are moving, but after all you've learned about the culture that covers up domestic violence in the NFL, does the league's involvement in this campaign feel sincere to you?
Well, look, certainly there's a focus on this now, and the things that we've looked at are recent cases, but you know, things have changed as it relates to this discussion since the Ray Rice case came to light a couple months back now. So I think it's hard to sort of discuss the sincerity of it, but I think certainly you could say that the NFL is focused on it, and it's something that's, you know, become a front burner issue and a whole lot of discussion around it.
Steve Eder writes about sports for the New York Times. You can link to his series Nowhere to Turn at onlyagame.org. Steve, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.